It's Monday morning and time for another episode of Bond Vigilantes TV. Good morning, everyone. Last week, Toys R Us announced that the company is preparing for liquidation of its US operations. And this follows failed attempts to find a new buyer or to reach a debt restructuring deal after filing for bankruptcy last September. So the retail space continues to be in the headlines, and I want to find out today how fund managers assess the current situation. This is exactly the reason why I'm joined today by Stefan Isaacs. He's fund manager and a deputy head of the retail fixed interest team at M&G. Good morning, Steph.
Morning, Mario.
So it's not looking too good for Jeffrey the Giraffe at the moment. When I was looking at Toys R Us bonds last week, you can see, and that's quite interesting, that bonds of Toys R Us have reacted quite differently to the news. So why is this, and how do you assess the general situation in retail?
Yeah, it's been obviously a really challenging space for the whole retail sector. And if we take a step back to 2006, where Toys R Us were first taken private, I think it's fair to say that private equity completely misjudged some of the structural headwinds. They put a lot of debt on the business and left Toys R Us in a position where it couldn't respond to some of those headwinds from Amazon, from Walmart, for example, and left them with a portfolio that was underinvested, and now unfortunately led to a situation which, you rightly say, last year saw them filing for Chapter 11 and very recently announcing that they're going to have to file for liquidation. In terms of bond prices, you're absolutely right. We've seen a complete divergence of how different parts of the Toys R Us's capital structure has traded. The bonds that have a claim on the property, not surprisingly, have traded much better than the unsecured bonds, which frankly only have a claim on the inventory and the brand itself. So two very different outcomes for different classes of bondholders, and I suppose is a reminder of just how important it is to do your stock selection, but also even within different credits to choose between different bonds very carefully, because the outcomes can be very different when companies find themselves in difficulty.
So it reminds a very challenging environment for retailers in the sector. But still, for us being value investors at our core, I guess there are also opportunities that arise in such an environment. I guess there will be survivors, and some of the bonds are might even be a bargain at the moment.
Yeah, I was worried you were going to ask me that question. Obviously, that is the difficult question at the moment. It's not like the market isn't aware of these challenges in the retail space. I suppose the question is, are you being rewarded for that risk? And it's actually possible that the bonds could be cheap. And certainly if we look at the way that the broader high yield market has traded versus just the retail space, you've seen retail underperform for many months now. And you know, the yields available are that much higher. There are potentially parallels to be drawn with the oil situation back in 2016, where, you know, it was spoken about as an uninvestable space, whereas actually anyone that did buy exposure to oil at that period probably did quite well on the back of that. I would suggest that it's difficult to see some of these structural headwinds going away anytime soon. In fact, perhaps in economies like the US, they may actually increase from here on in. So there will be opportunities for sure, and there will certainly be winners and losers. What we have to try and do is spend time identifying which companies can respond, they can invest, perhaps do have the appropriate balance sheets, and those that don't, and back hopefully the winners, and just as importantly, avoid the losers.
Mm. And also with a lot of retailers downsizing their businesses aggressively, I suppose there will be second order effects which needs to be monitored as well.
Yeah, that's the other thing that we need to spend time and we are spending time thinking about. So as I said, the whole challenge to retailers is well known, but what about these second order impacts? And you know, the labour market is one. We would expect redundancies, as we've seen, for example, from Toys R Us. You'd have thought in the UK, in the US, with labour markets essentially at full employment, that they can deal with that. That's unlikely to put any real pressure on the economy, I wouldn't suggest. The other areas of stress, perhaps in the property space. So when we think about REITs, for example, those REITs that have a lot of exposure to retailers could come in for some stress. They tend to be relatively diversified, but again, we have to do our work there and understand which REITs have these exposures and which don't, and are we being appropriately compensated for that risk?
Mm. So definitely the retail space needs to be watched carefully. So thanks very much for that. So back in the spotlight this week are central bank decisions both in the UK and the US. And while the market is not expecting any rate change in the UK, what we need to look at are the statements, whether we see any hawkish leaning of the Bank of England. Across the pond in the US, markets widely expect to see another rate hike of 25 basis points this week at what will be Chairman Powell's first meeting as Fed chairman. With that, thanks very much for watching. Take care and bye for now.